Shabbat Shalom. Okay, the parasha is Parsha Pikudi, and it is from Exodus 38:21 to 40:38, which is the end of the chapter. It is the 23rd Torah portion in the weekly readings. And Pikudi or Pikudei means amounts of, you know, or counting. And this is pretty detailed in what they counted and how much went into what and who did what. The tabernacle was built by master craftsmen. I mean, the best of the best. And the detail that they went into would be a dream come true for accountants and people that are into blueprints and all this other good stuff. So the scriptures say that at Moses' direction, Aaron's son Ithamar oversaw the accounts of the tabernacle and the amounts of gold, silver, and copper that Bezalel, Oholiab, and their co-workers used. Now remember, copper was used to make bronze. Bronze is mostly copper with some tin mixed in, so in this case it was probably like 95-90% copper and the rest was tin. Okay, so that's where the bronze comes from, with the bronze altar and all those things. The silver came from the half shekel. So in a previous parsha we learned where a man 20 years old was counted in the census and had to give a half shekel. So that's where the silver came from. And these guys and their co-workers, they also made the priestly vestments, the ephod and the breastpiece. And several times the phrase, just as God had commanded Moses, is used. Okay, so when the Bezalel and Oholiab and their co-workers made the robe and the tunics and the fine linen, and the frontlet inscribed, Holy to the Lord, okay, they brought it to the tabernacle with all its furnishings to Moses, and he blessed them. God told Moses to set up the tabernacle, and Moses did just as God had commanded him. And it was the first day of the second year of the Exodus that Moses erected the tabernacle and its furnishings, just as God had commanded. So we're beginning the second year. They've already been out there, you know, in the desert for a year, and now they're beginning the second year. So Moses finishes the work, and the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and God's presence filled the tabernacle. Think about that for a minute. God's presence filled the tabernacle. Moses didn't have to go up onto a mountain anymore to commune with God. God came down to where we were, or to where the children of Israel were. And when the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out. When the cloud did not lift, they wouldn't set out. God's cloud rested over the tabernacle by day, and at night it was a pillar of fire. So throughout the journeys of the Israelites, they went by wherever the cloud was. It's like, you know, you heard the expression, they wandered out in the wilderness. Well, they weren't really wandering. They were following the cloud where God led them. Okay, so like, you're sitting around and, whoop, it's moving day, pack up, we're going. The cloud's out there, you know, it's starting to move. So where are we going? I don't know. Follow the cloud. Okay. So when you think about it, when we follow God's direction, we don't always know where we're going or where it's going to lead, do we? We just say, okay, the Lord says move, go do it. Go do it. Okay, so it's all by faith. So, you know, the wife says, well, pack up, we're going. All right, kids, you know, get on the camels, you know, we're taking off. Okay. So there was a lot of precious metals used in this. And this is the detail that it lists. It amounted to 2,210 pounds of gold, 7,601 pounds of silver, 5,350 pounds of copper. And they checked it out this week. In today's market, the amount of gold was $44,875,376. The silver was $1,910,587.36. The copper was $12,144.50 for a grand total of $46,798,107.86. And that's just the metal. That didn't count all the fine linen, you know, and all the other stuff that had to go into it. Okay, so the breastplate of the high priest, which was worn over the ephod, was made of blue, gold, purple, and scarlet yarn, finely twisted linen. Okay, so when it says gold, it wasn't a gold-colored thread. It wasn't dyed. It was actually gold. Remember, gold is very soft, very pliable, pure gold. Like your jewelry, this is, oh, well, it's pure gold. No, it's not. It's probably 24-karat gold mixed with other metals. Pure gold would bend, it's flexible, you know, and if pounded out enough, you know, could possibly even break. So they actually pounded the gold out into really thin sheets and made thread out of it and weaved it into the other material. Okay, that's how intricate this thing was. And so they mounted onyx stones in gold settings and engraved them on them, the names of the tribe of Israel for like shoulder caps. Okay, and there was six names on one side and six on the other. And they contained, the ephod also contained two special gemstones called the Urim and Tumim, meaning lights of perfection. It said that they would glow a certain way when people were trying to determine God's will in certain situations. Okay, and scriptural references are 1 Samuel 14:41, 28:6, Ezra 2:63, and Nehemiah 7:65. And there were 12 gemstones in the breastplate that represented the 12 tribes of Israel, with each one inscribed with the name of one of the tribes. It was arranged in four rows of three stones, with each stone inscribed with six letters, for a total of 72 letters. The first letter, or the first row, was Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. The second was Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The third was Dan, Naphtali, and Gad. And the fourth was Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. So when the high priest came into God's presence, he carried with him the names of the tribes of Israel, and so he was representing them. And the sages taught that there were deeper meanings to the priestly garments that they were wearing. And I might add that the priest went in barefoot. There was no provision for any shoes or any sandals. They were barefoot when they went before the Lord. So the tunic, which covers most of the priest's body, you know, they say that atones for killing. The pants for sexual transgressions. The turban worn on the head for haughtiness. The belt wound around the body and worn over the heart atones for sins of the heart or improper thoughts. The breastplate atones for errors in judgment. The ephod atones for idolatry. The robe atones for evil speech. And remember, evil speech was akin to murder as well. You know, lashon hara in Hebrew, evil speech. And the high priest's crown atones for arrogance. Now, when you think about all this and going back to that the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle and later filled the temple, okay? When Yeshua came, God dwelt in Yeshua, did he not? Yeshua tabernacles with man, correct? And all these things that were involved in the temple worship and all the sins mentioned, you know, and all the sacrifices were all contained within Yeshua. Yeshua came and paid perfect sacrifice. So all these things, all these regulations, all this stuff that we had to go do was taken care of when Yeshua came to tabernacle with man and to give his life as a ransom and the final sacrifice for all of our sins. I would say to you that if you do not trust in Yeshua right now as your Savior to cover all these sins that were mentioned and all these things that animal sacrifices cannot take away, that you put your trust in Jesus for those sins to be removed and covered forever. And this is the last parsha in the book, so there's a Hebrew blessing, Hazak, Hazak, B'ni Hazak. Be strong and may we be strengthened. Shabbat shalom.